Good evening. If you will, go ahead and take out your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We're going to be looking at a very familiar story in verses 19 through 31, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" Sometimes we seem to want to accumulate things. We think that getting things and more things and newer things and better things are going to make us happy. We impress men by what we have and how we are able to obtain so many things. But God is not impressed by any of that. And neither is my standing with God made any better through any of these things. Jesus is making this a point right here, that what man honors, God abhors. Things are not always as they seem. And what I would like to do here this evening is just to simply make three observations. Three observations from this story that we just read about the rich man and Lazarus. And then the lesson will be yours. The first thing that I want you to see that I'm impressed with as I read this story is that we need to be careful what we wish for. This is a story of two men. Two men who could not be any more different. One man is very rich. The other man is very poor. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, we read that there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. He dressed in purple every day. In that day, purple was a dye that was squeezed from a fish. And it's my understanding that you got about a drop of this dye from every one fish. And so you can imagine how expensive it was. It was very expensive. And royalty usually only utilized this for special occasions. Royalty didn't even wear it every single day. But notice what it says in this text. The rich man wore purple every day. And it says that he feasted sumptuously. The lifestyle of the rich and famous. And so you see, the opposite was Lazarus. A poor man, a beggar, a lame man, who longed to be fed with even just the crumbs that fell off of this rich man's table. He was so disgusting that he had sores all over his body, and the dogs would come and lick his sores. I mean, how much lower could an individual possibly get? But here's my question to you this evening. Out of these two men, which one do you envy? Which one do you long to be more like? Most of us have to go to work. But you know, there are some people who can drive any car that they want to drive, and they can go out and they can pay cash for it. There's people that can go and just do house shopping and look for any house that they want, and they can pay cash for it. But most of us are not that way. We look at people like that and we say sometimes, now that's life. That's life. That would be the way to live right there. Well, let's be honest with ourselves for a second. How many of us would love to go shopping and not even bother to look at the price tag? There are people who can go and do that. But how many of us would like to go on a vacation and plan a vacation without having to try and figure out what's the cheapest way to do it? Be careful what you wish for things are not always as they seem. Is there anybody here tonight that is envying Lazarus? Does anybody look to people who can't drive the nicest cars or go on the nicest vacations and think, you know, that's the way I want to live my life. That's the way I would like to live life. Is that the reason why you will get up early tomorrow and go to work and work hard all day long? So that you might be like Lazarus? Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." But how many of us live that way and think that way? Be careful. Be very careful what you wish for. I like what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." That's a good attitude, isn't it? That's a very good attitude. Just give me what I need, and that's all. And let me spend the rest of my time figuring out how I can serve my God and my fellow man. That's the way life should be thought of. But what are we wishing for? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul taught that there is great gain in godliness with contentment. Being godly in this life and being content with whatever you have in life is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. How many of us here tonight are content with what we have? Do you have food and clothing? God says, well, be content. Be content. Because things are not always as they seem. The world tells you that the more things you have, the more successful you are, the happier you are, the more happier you're going to be, and the more respect and esteem that you're going to have. That's what the world says. Not necessarily, ladies and gentlemen, in God's eyes, is that true. In verses 9 through 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17, "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all day long." What's your ambition in life? What are your goals for tomorrow and this week and this month and this year? Ladies and gentlemen, from this story, one of the things I learn is this. Be careful what you wish for. For things are not always as they seem. I'll tell you something else I learned from this story. And that's, you cannot live wrong and die right. When was the last time that you went to a funeral? and you were at that funeral and the preacher said, you know, this was one lousy individual. He never obeyed the gospel. He never set foot in a place of worship. Never did anything good for anybody else. This man is lost for sure. When was the last time you heard anything like, when was the last time you heard a negative statement at a funeral? I've never heard that. Never. And I bet you've never heard that either. Typically, when I go to a funeral, they're preaching that individual right into heaven, aren't they? They're trying to preach him into heaven. He's now dead, and so he's in a much better place. He's so much better off now than he was here on this earth because, you know, he's dead, and so now he's in the loving arms of Jesus. Listen, things are not always as they seem. As a matter of fact, I see in Luke chapter 16, verse 22, a completely different picture. Look at that. In verses 22 and 23 of Luke chapter 16, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. Things are not always as they seem. The rich man, being in torment every day while he was here on this earth, he used to be in a party every day. Let me ask you, can you imagine in your mind the two different funerals of these men? With Lazarus, they probably just took him off the street and put him on a cart, and they probably either threw him out with the trash and burned his body or just buried him in the ground somewhere. Paid no attention, gave no thought to him. The rich man, on the other hand, well, there's all kind of pomp and circumstance, right? A big motorcade takes him down the highway, and it's big news in the town. Did you hear this man died? Many big names are interviewed, and they just sing his praises and tell what a wonderful man he was and how wealthy he was and all his successes. The life of these two men in this side of eternity were two very real and different existences. In death, there were two very real and different existences. Listen, you cannot live wrong and die right. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. To the Jews, to be with Abraham would be the height of peace and grandeur. The rich man looks up and he's in torment. He was never concerned about anybody else. Never concerned about Lazarus. He cared about number one. He cared about himself. It kind of reminds me about another rich man in Luke chapter 12. Verses 16 through 21. He wanted to tear down his barns and he wanted to build bigger and better barns. Two very real different existences in one life. And two very real different existences in death. How are you living your life outside of worship? Now listen, this rich man was not lost. He was not lost because he was rich. There's nothing wrong in and of itself of being extremely wealthy. That is not why the rich man was lost. But then Lazarus is not comforted because he was poor either. The first man, the rich man, was totally unconcerned about God and even this poor beggar that laid at his feet. You see, you and I are going to have to think very seriously about our lives and about our priorities that we set in our lives. Whether we are going to be obedient to God and follow His will, or are we going to live life like it's just a party every single day? But one of the things I learned from these two men here this evening is that you cannot live wrong and die right. You simply can't do it. One more observation and the lesson will be yours, and that is we will not be on this side of time forever. The rich man now opens up his eyes just after death and realizes just what a messed up view of life he had. The things that he thought were so important and the things that he thought would bring him happiness, really, when it was all said and done, didn't mean anything at all. They didn't mean anything at all. They didn't bring him any comfort. They didn't mean anything to him at his death. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever seen this. I don't know if you've noticed this, but do you see here in this passage what he saw was now the most important thing? Do you see it in the text? It's one word. One word. Repent. Repent. That's the only thing that this man can see now that is of any importance at all. Repent. Look at verses 27 through 30 again. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will," what? "They will repent." They will repent. Tell them to repent so they don't come to this place. Let me tell them that living life like it's a party doesn't mean anything. Please, let me go tell them to repent. Have you ever noticed in the movies, when you see these movies, when someone comes back to life, what they tell those who are living what to do? You know, you hear things like, "Hey, could you tell my sister that I loved her? I never got a chance to do that." Or, "Listen, you be with your mother. It's going to be hard on her now, and so you need to help her around the house and help her with whatever she needs. Now, I'm always going to be with you." You hear that a lot. "I'm always going to be with you." But ladies and gentlemen, from this story right here, these are not the things that we're going to be concerned about. The only request that this dead man now made for the living was to go back and to tell them to repent. Change your life to conform to what God would have you to live your life. Don't come to this horrible place that I'm in. It's a very real existence. I'm in this place now and I can't do anything to get out, but I want to keep you from coming here. And misery, in this case, does not love company. I think that's the reason why in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Because you see, they were bringing up to Jesus. And they were talking to him about the fact that, "Hey, did you hear what Pilate did to those Galileans? Did you hear what he did? These Galileans that Pilate killed and then he sprinkled their blood upon their sacrifice? Can you imagine such a horrible thing?" And Jesus says, "Listen, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Well, Jesus, does that mean that we're going to be chopped up and put on sacrifices and things like that? No. But just as quickly, just as suddenly, and just as without mercy, you will also likewise perish unless you repent. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, "The time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Ladies and gentlemen, things are not always as they seem. It seems sometimes that life will go on forever. I remember when I was younger thinking that those days would never end. But guess what? They're over. Those days are over. They're gone. And they're gone forever. And now I'm a 32-year-old man looking at children that I'm raising myself. Life does not go on forever. And we will not be on this side of time forever. Because one day, and it's coming soon, I'm going to die. Or the Lord will come again. And whatever state spiritually that I am in when those events occur is how I'm going to spend eternity. Now, I just want to ask each and every one of you, how comfortable are you with that statement? God said through Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Find the Lord tonight. If He doesn't come before the close of our worship, He very well could. You can find the Lord tonight and the Lord is saying, "Listen, I know that it seems like life is going to go on forever, but it's not. It's not. And while you have an opportunity, you need to come to the Lord." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And then James said in James chapter 4 and verse 14, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." We're just a mist that's here for a short time and then we're gone. We're gone. There's a lot of things that we can learn from this story. But I just want you to meditate on these three things. Be careful what you wish for. Things you may think may bring you and your family happiness just may be your demise. You cannot live wrong and die right. You cannot ask somebody to preach your funeral and preach you into heaven. It doesn't work that way. There is no second chance. And then you will not be on this side of time forever. The only time that each and every one of us have promised to us is now. Is now. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the things are not always as they seem. If you're here this evening and you're not yet a child of God, don't wait any longer. Because I said, you may not make it to see tomorrow or the Lord may return this very night. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. If you are a Christian and you've been involved in sin, don't put off repenting. Don't think to yourself that I've messed up again. I've been involved in this sin over and over and over and over again. I can't help myself. It's an addiction. Whatever. God will forgive you. If you truly repent, He will forgive you. No matter the sin, He will forgive you. If you have a need, again, don't wait. Make it known right now as together we stand and as we sing.
Jesus, he sees a drooping heart to cheer our lips.